We begin this hour with a look at some of the unintended consequences of well-intentioned social programs. The vast network of income maintenance, welfare, food stamps, other government compensation to help economically stressed families serves well over 40 million people in the United States. At that scale, how these programs are implemented and the expectations they create for the families who must rely on them can produce some unintended consequences, and consequences that are evident month to month. Call it social engineering or the fear of failing to make ends meet. A study of public schools throughout the city of Chicago has found that detention and suspension rates of students on welfare food programs increase towards the end of each month and sharply decrease through the beginning of the next. It may be due to the way America's food stamp system, formerly known as the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP is the acronym, how that program is administered. Joining us now is Lisa Janedian, Managing Director of Ideas 42, which applies behavioral economics to real-world problems. Lisa, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good morning.
Patty Hosh joins us, principal at Cache Lake Bina Elementary School in Cass Lake, Minnesota. Welcome as well, Patty.
Good morning.
First of all, since you're a data point there in Cass Lake, are you noticing these kinds of rhythms that I just referred to?
Yes, I believe that is true.
And so, I mean, literally, you have detentions, behavior problems, acting out, taking place at the end of the month when you would expect certain government programs and resources to become exhausted for families. That's correct?
Yes, I am.
And does that manifest in your classes, in the number of kids that are coming to your office, that sort of thing?
That's true, yes. We have... In my school, we serve preschool through grade 4, and so these are very young children who are relying on significant adults in their lives to maintain and provide the, you know, basics in their lives. We provide a food program at our school where 100% of our students eat for free. Technically, only 80% qualify for free and reduced meals, but because we realize the importance of having food to help our children learn, we provide free breakfast and free lunch for all our students.
All right. That's Patty Hosh at the Cass Lake Bina Elementary School in Cass Lake, Minnesota. Lisa Janedian, let's talk about what you were looking for when you began this study. Was this something you were actually testing for, or did this come as a surprise, this discovery of this monthly cycle?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I just wanted to step back for a second because actually this work was motivated more generally about understanding the lives of the poor and the context of being poor. And this observation that without having any savings, often know what we would call financial slack, except for very high-cost alternatives such as payday loans, that we're putting a lot of pressures on the poor to also make what I'm going to call, quote-unquote, good decision-making. So this work actually came out of not because we were specifically interested in food policy, but this observation that the demands of day-to-day living, when you have very low income, leave little room for error, to be frank, especially the error that might have financial implications, and in addition, another kind of error, what we'll call room for in our minds for good decision-making.
Hmm. Well, let's talk about where this research would go from here. As a social scientist, I suspect you're asking questions about, all right, what is happening when these families attempt to jump the gap at the end of the month? How do they pass those stresses from the parents along to the students? And are we possibly looking at short-term malnourishment implications as well, physiological implications?
That's another great question. And one thing we can't answer with the data that we had available is these sort of mechanisms that you're talking about. Part of why we went over to looking at SNAP benefits that are dispensed once a month and to test this observation, what's happening at the end of the month, is that some work by an author named James Shapiro had observed that caloric intake is actually much lower at the end of the month among SNAP families versus the beginning of the month. So certainly hunger is one hypothesis. And in our analysis, when we look at the children in the Chicago Public Schools who also have an after-school program, the sort of increase in detentions and suspensions is attenuated a bit. So it looks like, or it might be, that hunger could be one mechanism. But another one, as you described, could simply be that the stresses at the end of the month of making ends meet are manifesting themselves in parenting, disengaging with children, and that, in addition, could lead to lots thoughts of acting out behavior in school.
That's Lisa Janetian, who's the managing director of Ideas 42, which applies behavioral economics to real-world problems. Speaking of real-world, Patty Hosh, all right, let's get you to respond to the tough question that maybe some of our listeners are asking, and that would be, well, why is this my responsibility? You should do better planning. You shouldn't get to the end of the month and run out. This is nobody's fault but your own. Patty?
I think that when you apply that kind of logic, you're anticipating that the people that you're dealing with have those forthcoming thoughts about how to manage their money. And I think she mentioned, you know, about people having the stresses in their lives. They're not thinking in the same way as someone who does have the proper nutrition and means for providing for their family.
It's a totally different way. Planning is a luxury that can't be afforded by a lot of these families. Patty Hosh, have you ever had a situation where there was a youngster in your office who revealed to you in some way that their family was essentially out of food?
Oh, yes. That's not uncommon for us to I even have staff who sometimes will send home things. You know, they'll purchase food on their own to give to the children to put in their backpack for the weekend because they know that the children often, are left to fend for themselves. And so
Well, and we're grateful for that. That's a great move on your part. Patty Hosh is principal at Cass Lake Bina Elementary School in Cass Lake, Minnesota. Very quickly, Lisa Janetian, is there a takeaway here? What should we do about this?
I think the takeaway is, given that the existing constraints on budgets throughout our country and our existing economy, we should rethink and sit back. Is there ways that we can redesign our programs so that we're not putting these additional assumptions on how individuals who don't have extra resources need to be planning, need to be smoothing their consumption? And so this is where the frequency of benefits and the timing of that dispensement might be an interesting policy innovation.
Need to be looked at. Thanks for the great conversation. Lisa Janetian, Managing Director of Ideas 42, a behavioral economics think tank. Thanks so much.